Blog Talk Radio.
We heard all around this world.
We will make our voices heard all around this world.
We have all heard about this order that President Trump has given.
We have all heard about this order that President Trump has given.
It is illegal.
It is illegal.
It is unconstitutional.
It is unconstitutional.
Welcome to the Sunday show on Hear Me Monsters. And of course, most of us know exactly who that was. That was Senator Elizabeth Warren at Logan Airport last evening. And I have to tell you, gentlemen, I have not seen so many Democrats out in public in front of people and with people since the election season. And
it's about time.
Anybody who sits in a room with Steve Bannon loses my vote right away. as to that, we're very fortunate today to have presidential historian and author Ronald Feynman with us. Thanks for joining us today, Ron.
Thank you. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hey there. And Wayne Johnson's with us, and Jet Jodell's back. So thank
Hello,
you,
everybody.
Jay.
All right. Glad to have you back, Jack.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yep.
The biggest thing happening, it's, you know, Ron, and you're going to have to give us the hoodoo on this since you're the historian. But correct me if I'm wrong. It takes at least a couple of years for half the country to hate a president. This guy's done it in less than 8 days.
Yes, I would say that he has made George W. Bush look like a hero and Richard Nixon look like a saint.
I'd call Bush a piker and Nixon, a failure as compared to the kind of devastation this guy is loosing upon our country. And all of the world leaders now today, it's on the news. Angela Merkel, the president of France, and Parliament in the UK, they've got a petition going that's got over, I guess it's now about 700,000 signatures of Brits who do not want him entering their country. And Theresa May took a real shellacking, not only in the press, but in Parliament for her acquiescence to Trump. It's been pretty bloody in the streets, you know, in the political streets.
Forget and the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said
modern history.
He's open to everyone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I wish we had him as our president.
Ron, well, he's kind of, you know, says one thing, does another too. But he actually, he became the North American or Western leader that took the reins by welcoming all the refugees to Canada. He handed Trump that. He really did.
Yep.
But the thing is that if you read extensively today, some of the, you know, instead of the, oh, God, endless rumor mills that come out of D.C., but if you take a look at some of the postings, you'll find, I guess it was Politico that really put it together and said that this whole thing was done so incompetently that the courts will turn it around because they didn't know what they were doing. And on top of that, for them to give orders today what do you call those agents? Border patrol agents that are at the airports
ICE.
And stuff.
ICE?
TSA?
No, I think they're called the
immigration officers
and customs officials to tell them to call from the White House and tell them they better not let anybody through. Doesn't matter what the court says. They're doubling down on how they can be prosecuted now for what they're doing. They don't have a right if a federal judge has put a stay on it. Correct, Ron?
That is correct.
And, you know, we're seeing a perfect example of Donald Trump's business acumen. This guy, I've known he's a phony forever, but a lot of people thought, oh, he's a successful businessman. No, he's not. He's a failure. And he's showing why he's a failure in the first few weeks of his administration. It's unbelievable. I've never seen such incompetence in my entire life.
Well, he's bankrupted everything.
Yeah, exactly.
He bankrupts everything he puts his hands on. And the only thing he had left to trade on was his name for all the big projects he put together and bankrupted people. You know, who was it? Was it Barnum and Bailey? Who was it who said that there was a sucker born every minute?
That's P.T.
Barnum. P.T. Barnum, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Barnum saw Trump coming a mile off. I mean, he stands and he spouts populism that people like to hear because they think there's clarity in the message. And the message that most voters, I guess, that voted for him got was that he would turn their status around and get them better incomes. And
illusion.
He outright lied. And then he pulls all this crap all week long. And then last night behind curtains, he sticks Steve Bannon up the chief's the staff and that rancid Prius or whatever the frig he is. I can never pronounce it. Rancid Priebus.
R-E-I-N-C-E, yeah.
I get that. I'm saying it purposely. He's rancid. People are so confident
I feel like the wrath of a woman, right?
Hey, listen, I know. You know, guys, my mother would say, wherever you go, that's where you're at. You know? And I think America is at. I think America is at. Ron, you've been posting a lot of really good pieces. Are you reading them all? Are you grokking all of this? Are you putting all of this together?
I'm first of all making my own comments, my own things, but then also I'm reading these different articles and sometimes just posting them, sometimes commenting on them. But I am unfortunately prolific, maybe probably annoy some people that everything they look at has got my name on it.
but my point is, are you reading these things? I mean, it's at the, are you not stunned by the incompetence of how this was done?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as I was saying earlier about Nixon and the second Bush, I think if you look at the ranking of presidents, and they'll probably start doing that next month because it's President's Day, that, you know, I think people like at the bottom of the list, like Andrew Johnson and James Buchanan, will be lifted a little bit by Trump.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be worse than anybody ever, you know, I think, in the long run, unless he turns around. But I think he's going to go downhill constantly, and I don't think he's going to last that long in the presidency. In fact, I'm writing an article now about the presidents who didn't serve a full term, and I'm guessing that he will end up probably longer than William Henry Harris in 1 month, probably longer than James Garfield, 6.5 months until he died of the assassination, but probably not as long as Zachary Taylor, 16 months, which is the third shortest term, 16 months, 1 year and 4 months. I really don't see him surviving 16 months in the White House without being forced out by either the 25th Amendment or by impeachment.
Well, Ron, I commented and sent you a message where I drew a parallel. Benjamin Harrison, which was the grandson of Tippi Canoe,
yes,
and Tyler too, who did not win the popular vote, but won the electoral vote.
1888, correct.
Yes, he started enacting his policies like he had a mandate, destroyed the economic conditions of the country in his time. Even the Republicans turned against him in the second election.
Yep.
He served a full term, right? But his incompetence and his ignorance, and destroyed the economic, which basically everybody, the working middle class and even the poor and stuff, then had to suffer the brunt from his just winning the electoral vote, not the popular vote.
Yeah, the panic of 1890, which went on to 1890. It was a terrible, worst depression we've had yet at that point.
1893,
yes. 1898, because it lasted about 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah, now that, with that mindset, looking at any time we've had a complete, total domination of the Congress, the Senate, and the White House, the Great Depression of 29, it happened in 28. They
right.
destroyed the economy then. And
mm-hmm.
the abuses that happened under Bush and Cheney, again,
mm-hmm.
total control of the House, Senate, and the White House, which gave us 2008, 2000. Well, we're just now starting to get pull our socks up again and our pants up from that devastation.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my projection. In 4 to 6 years, we will be in the worst recession ever.
Yeah.
Maybe worse than the Great Depression is what you're
saying. From their financial abuses.
And also, the way it's going in foreign affairs, I think we're going to have World War III. I think we have a very unstable world, and we're going to end up sending massive troops overseas, and many of them being killed or wounded. I'm so horrified by that thought.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, where are we
going to... And my daughter, I have a young daughter, 22. She will not be drafted.
Gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
gentlemen, where the hell are you going to send troops? You think anybody'd let us land right now?
No, well, Trump talks about taking the oil of Iraq. He talks about killing terrorist families. All kinds of illegal things that he's going to do, which would be impeachable acts. And
yeah,
I think
right.
he's already had abuse of power, and I think it's already there's a case for impeachment.
Well, look, here's the facts today. The facts today, before we're coming on the air, Iraq is going to kick our men off their land now. All those troops invested there, they're kicking them out. They don't want.
I didn't hear that. Must have just happened. Oh, wow.
Well, the military-industrial complex will have a big panic over that.
Not only that, but China has been saber-rattling. Now, I personally think that's just posturing to bring Trump to heel publicly, I think, because that is a massive scare. However,
well, when Mad Dog Mattis makes noise about you can't do this with your own islands in the Pacific, you know, that's irresponsible and stupid on his part.
It is, absolutely. I agree. But if anybody should make even a verbal attack in that direction, engaging China, I think that's what will impeach him.
That could be.
Well, and the other thing, too, was just last week, as I was getting ready for work, I was watching the public broadcast of BBC News, and they had the president of China talking with the interviewers. And they said, we're listening to Trump. He says, when he was talking about our business relationships and stuff, said, we were kind of listening intently and like, what's he trying to say and everything like that. And he said, and then within a short amount of time, we realized, well, this guy's just an idiot. That is what China's viewpoint. They've already summed him up. You know, he's doing all this posturing and bolstering and stuff. He said, he's just an idiot, period.
Yeah, meanwhile, there's more evidence that the the goods on Trump that the Russians have. Apparently, the person who was involved in that suddenly died, and so they're now investigating that. And they think that there is more evidence about bribery and all that by the Russian government against Trump that's making him be such a bromance person. And that is definitely an impeachable act: bribery or abuse of power or obstruction of justice. Those are all major points, and I think all of them already have been met.
Ron, are you talking about that article that's been running around about finding the guy in a car dead in Russia? Because that's bullshit.
Yes.
That's what angers me about this public media stuff.
That's not true?
No, it's not. You have to check every source. What is true?
Okay.
What is true is he's been disappeared. They came in, they headbanged him, and they pulled him out under arrest for treason under the auspices of leaking information, sensitive information, and he's gone. But he was not found dead in a car in Russia. That is spurious.
He's in prison, though, it means, right? I guess.
He's disappeared.
Probably tortured, probably killed, but we don't know it. I think, you know. I don't think they're just going to be nice to him in prison.
No.
No.
Not Russian prison, anyway.
But, you know, anybody...
They're not going to give him ice cream at the end of his meal.
Anybody who's paying attention to Bipartisan Report or Daily Cost better be checking back to all of the tags in it, because they're rumor mill. You know, they take a little bit of fact and they add on to it. And that was the Daily Cost thing. And they basically, that can't be confirmed at all.
Well, one thing's for certain here, and that is that Trump is getting exactly what he wants. Complete and utter devotion by the press and notoriety and publicity all the time. Everything he does, I've never seen anything like it. It's despicable.
I agree,
He thinks he's a king instead of a president. I think that's the thing. He thinks he's an emperor. Very dangerous man because he's mentally unhinged.
No, he's nuts. He is nuts, absolutely.
I was going to say, Ron, as you and I spoke earlier on Facebook and stuff, and you drew a lot of parallels to the oligarchy dictatorships, the military juntas that took over the country of Chile and Argentina that I was stationed in, firsthand what went on down there. I am having the most vicious deja vu and even a little bit of anxiety, saying, I can't believe that what I saw down there in those third world South American countries through those military juntas, I'm now seeing in my own country.
Yes, and I want to point out Chile, not so much Argentina. Chile was a democracy throughout the 20th century, and so they gained it back. But Chile was the most stable country in South America for the whole 20th century until 1976. And again, it is very stable now, but it went through a tragic 14 years under Pinochet.
Yes, that's right. And that was Kissinger and Nixon's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Nixon and Kissinger were behind it, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, from 73 actually to 89 with Pinochet. Yeah, Kissinger was definitely behind it, but you can't ask him.
In
an interview, he will stop talking to you if you interview him and ask him about Chile. He doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, he was the first freely elected Marxist in the Western Hemisphere, and Nixon and Kissinger couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand it.
Well, I'm sorry, gentlemen. I was going to say that today I read a very interesting description of the new security advisor over everybody
Bannon.
In the White House, Bannon.
And also Flynn, yes. Michael Flynn.
Oh, my God.
Well,
they're taking the Joint Chiefs of Staff out of National Security Council meetings as an automatic. You know, they'll have to ask to come in. That's a very dangerous trend.
Very dangerous,
I liked very much the description I read of Bannon today. Breitbart's resident, white-beating, white-trash, Nazi-sympathizing, Leninist gin blossom on the National Security Council. And it's true. He's a full-fledged drunk. I mean, how he goes out in front of cameras with that schnoz. It's just amazing. It's amazing to me that nobody in that White House staff is doing something about that.
It's also interesting because Trump doesn't drink at all, and yet he has this person on his staff close to him. It's very strange, isn't it?
Well,
might I add here and interject that Adolf Hitler did not drink nor smoke?
Yeah, apparently he doesn't drink or smoke. We're not so sure about drugs, though.
I have no opinion on that. I think we'd be, as he's considered a malignant narcissist already, I think we really have some problems if he was doing lines in the Oval Office. But
what explains his heavy breathing in all those debates?
In a
very strange, wasn't it?
You know, that could honestly be he doesn't do any exercising except walking around and playing golf when he does. And
well, he does flex his fingers when he speaks, as he said. That's his exercise, which made you laugh, you told me. You almost spilled your coffee, you told me last week.
He's obese. And
very heavy as president after Taft and Cleveland, yes.
Yeah, he's obese, and his breath is affected by the weight that is pulling down on his lungs. So,
he also doesn't sleep very much, which is very dangerous at his age, not to sleep more than 4 or 5 hours. That could undermine his health and shorten his life.
I smell a heart attack coming on, and I hope it's soon.
Well, but then you're going to get tense. And it's like, my God, out of the frying pan into the fire. Because now this guy is mandated by God in his mind. So, you know, Trump is mandated by greed. That's what he's about. He's just looking at lining his pockets for him, his kids, and his cronies. Pence.
But interesting, with Mike Pence's last year on Twitter, he said he was against a Muslim ban. Now, what is he going to do? Now he's backing it after he said in December 2015 as governor he was against the idea, was un-American?
Well, he's just biding his time, I think, to get rid of Trump and then take over the reins himself. He's waiting for Trump to die or get impeached or something. I think he's just laying in the weeds waiting.
Well, the 25th Amendment, which I wrote an article last week on History News Network, which got hundreds of Facebook and Twitter shares, and over 7,000 people looked at it, according to the editor, Rick Schenkman. So it really, I never saw an article get so many reactions. So the 25th Amendment, Section 4, could be put into play where Pence would take over as acting president.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, really, how this Trump phenomenon has just really gripped the entire country. And all of a sudden, people's eyes are wide open, and they're looking very earnestly all over the place for an alternative.
Yes, and that's the other big point of the day. I'm watching the lefty left black bloc crowd come out and say, don't pick on the progressives, don't pick on the liberals, we need them, we need to unify. And when those guys and the Greens start saying we all got to get together, you know shit's flying.
Yeah, you bet. Let's hope it continues. Let's hope it continues for the next 4 years.
It will. I think it will. I think people are just that fed up that, you know, I might not, at a protest, I might not be black bloc. I may not be breaking windows or anything, but I'll be in that line that is peacefully protesting, and if the cops try to go over me to get to one of them, I'm going to stop them.
Yeah.
Understand where I'm coming from?
Right.
I won't behave that way, but I will stand solid. Because,
great.
I mean, this is like, man, it's not exactly the sit-in against the war my freshman year, but it's a lot like a lot of the, like, Chicago. I mean,
we've never seen so many demonstrations rise up so quickly and so suddenly and so massively ever in the history of this country. This man is genuinely hated, and his agenda is genuinely hated. And that's good for us and bad for the country, but good
but
for us.
Where were they a couple months ago when they were voting?
They were
voted for Trump that are saying, oh, I made a mistake. Well, baby,
they were thinking
it's too
he couldn't win.
Now to realize it.
They were thinking he couldn't win. Boy, did they make a mistake.
Yeah, what's particularly sad is the people like in Kentucky or West Virginia, the coal miners and other people who are now worried about losing their Medicaid, who are worried about their black lung disease, and they seem to think that he wouldn't bother them. They're now realizing they're all in danger because of the plan to get rid of the Obamacare with this Tom Price, HHS secretary, out to destroy it without any real replacement, it seems.
They make up
and
the massively misled.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say, let me interject here, because I just came from a whole week of traveling down in southern Kentucky and southern West Virginia for business. And I was looking at the coal mine town squalors, the devastation down there. They still had their Trump signs out. They had their Confederate flags out. And then there was big billboards, sign up right now for your black lung benefits. Well, guess what? When Trump signed the repealing Obamacare, what was also padded in there was coal mining corporations are no longer responsible for your black lung disease. That got signed the very first day that he sat in. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you poor dumb bastards. You have nothing. You thought he was going to revive your coal industry and, you know, you're going to have a better cash flow and prosperity. No, you just killed yourself. You just destroyed your own medical plan.
And meanwhile, the Mexico wall is leading Mexico to retaliate, and then Trump says a 20% tax on goods that come from Mexico, which will raise the cost of living for everybody who buys at Walmart or buys a car or anything else.
Sure.
And it's exactly.
Well, and the thing is that they've made very little effort to consult with federal agency lawyers or lawmakers. And they
Well, that's too much work for a lazy president.
Stroking the fears that the White House is creating the appearance of real momentum with all of these flawed and unworkable orders, it's even unenforceable and it's illegal. I mean, the White House didn't ask the State Department experts to review Trump's momentum on the XL pipeline, even though the company that wants to build the pipeline is suing us, the U.S., for $15 billion, according to people familiar with the matter. I mean, this is just incredible. And Mattis and Pompeo were both blindsided with a draft order that requires the agencies to reconsider using interrogation techniques that are currently banned as torture. I mean, this is unthinkable. These guys are frigging clowns, guys. They're incompetent.
Yeah, it's a joke.
And the Department of Health and Human Services knew about executive action starting to unwind Obamacare, but only less than 2 hours before it was released. Key members of Congress weren't consulted on this. I mean, a conference in Philadelphia, the GOP legislators were going, what the hell, in closed rooms? Because they hadn't even been consulted on this. The breakneck pace here. It might be pleasing some of his supporters, but critics are questioning, you know, whether the documents are being rushed through without necessary review. I think so. And
you know, one of the issues also is that most of the people that were working under Obama were told goodbye, leave on inauguration day, and they don't have many people in the various agencies ready to do anything. So there's really a lack of leadership and a lack of backup personnel, and that's disastrous too.
Well, and this has created not just an American crisis, but a global crisis. And
absolutely.
Do we have any diplomats? Diplomats and residents, not a one, guys, not a one. I would be surprised if embassies in D.C. don't start closing down this week and just saying, F you, man, get a new guy.
Nothing's predictable these days. Everything's a surprise.
Yeah, you know something? This would be the perfect, I'm being sarcastic, perfect time for Putin to try to take over the rest of Ukraine because we're in disarray and there's no real foreign policy.
That deal's already been made. Professor, that deal has already been made. That's when he talks about NATO is obsolete and stuff. It's time for us to start pulling back. That was the message to Putin saying, yeah, go ahead and take it. It's all yours.
And what if North Korea, uses a nuclear,
really
missile?
Wacky.
Even as a test, he's already said they will not be able to do it. And what's he going to say or do when they do it?
Yeah.
Well,
when Seattle goes up in smoke.
Kim Jong-il has own problems right now because his high staff is starting to question whether he's sane. When that starts leaking out, you don't hear that crap all the time. When that kind of rumor mongering starts leaking out from a country like that, you know there's something going on, a purge in the making or what have you.
Right.
And when they're going through a crisis like that, at least they're not trying to think of how to screw around with this incompetent buffoon. I mean,
right.
But if indeed Kim Jong-un is having opposition, he'll probably have a mass purge. That's what he's done all along.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he even killed his own uncle because he didn't clap enthusiastically enough.
God, unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes. Eric.
You know, that kind of sounds like something Trump would do.
Yeah, it does. They're birds of a feather.
There's a common theme here, guys, that strong men are rising up right now. And you know that the harder they come, the harder they fall.
Oh, yeah.
And it's usually pretty fast.
But they could cause a world war like World War II first before they fall. That's what's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you're right. So many victims, needless, just needless, pointless victims, and there will be all kinds of them, a record number of them.
Yeah.
Did you see what Netanyahu did this week?
He
endorsed the Mexico wall, which he had no right even to speak up on. It has nothing to do with his government.
You know, he's got balls.
Right.
That guy ought to be snipped a little bit.
That guy.
How about when the Republicans called him over here to speak out against Obama himself in our Capitol building?
That was that damn Boehner.
Netanyahu actually tweeted this. He said that walls work. He knows. It's a good idea. The land grabbing son of a bitch. BDS. BDS.
He's a war criminal. Let's face it. He's a war criminal. He really is.
It basically is. And it's all of these strong men club getting together right here, guys. There's
going to be shit flying pretty soon.
It shouldn't be overlooked that there's quite a cabal amassing. And the only place there seems to be a central committee is over in China.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It's really, really scary. And Americans are very afraid. They're very afraid. A lot of
people. Well, China's been taking our import dollars. Our dollars that we've spent over there.
Well, the
and they've
trade
slowly
dollars,
but
trade
surely
dollars.
Been building up their military, slowly but surely, and not without not much fanfare. And they're slowly and surely. They want to dominate the Pacific, and you know what? They're going to.
Yes, they are. And this guy will give them every ability to do it because of his.
Yeah.
Complete incompetence with diplomacy and his complete incompetence with strategizing. He has no idea how to shift things. I knew when this guy got into the White House, there would be problems because he insists on keeping incompetence around him. These people are so terribly out of touch. I could run the operation better and I don't know what the F I'm doing.
Right. You know, I understand, yeah.
I love the way you say things, Gwen.
she doesn't hold back, man. She lets you have it.
I was going to say, Betsy DeVos scares me as the Department of Education. She has no background, and she promotes Christian education and charter schools and is against the public schools, and she has no teaching or administrative experience. She should not be Secretary of Education.
No, they didn't approve her yet.
And the charter schools here in Ohio have failed miserably.
Not yet, no.
Yeah.
They cost the taxpayers more than public school systems, and they have failed miserably. Matter of fact, there's a lot of investigations going on and indictments for where those who are running the charter school just took the money and padded their pockets. Oh, they lied about how many students they had, so they got a bigger paycheck. And then they just took the surplus and was putting it in their pocket. That's what's going on in Ohio right now.
Well, guys,
and Michigan, where Betsy DeVos was from, Detroit, really has a problem because of the charter schools.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Rick Snyder.
It's the Milton.
He should be in prison for what happened in Flint. But it's clear what happens to African Americans primarily, which is the population of Flint, doesn't matter about water. And what happens to the Standing Rock Sioux Indians and the pipeline with their water doesn't matter because they don't matter, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a term. It's called
there were
white,
wealthy whites there. Maybe they would not be doing it.
Right.
It's called environmental racism.
Gentlemen,
I
have a commercial break to take here, and so I would like folks who are listening out there to know, first of all, we're sorry we don't have chat available today, and if you really would like to comment, please just call in. The number is right there on the page that you're listening in, and I would like to make you all aware of this. If you're considering donating money or time, aside from the ACLU Nationwide, which is fabulous, but they are really, they're doing okay. People are giving them bucks right and left. Organizations on the front line are these. There's CAIR, C-A-I-R, which has branches all across the country. There are Arab American associations in New York and in New York City. There's Make the Road, the National Day Laborers Organizing Network. There's CUNY CLEAR up in New York. The Muslim Advocate needs help. So does the Sikh Coalition. And if you go over to, go to Gwendolyn Holden Berry on Facebook, you can see a post of all of this. These are the organizations right now who will be, you know, paying for the legal expenses and the sundries of people who are caught up in this horrible dilemma in the airports right now. So, and whatever is to come. And so if you have money to give, please consider these donations too. And the ACLU. Please do.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the commercial, gentlemen.
Very good point, Gwen.
Very good, yeah.
It's important because whenever there's a specific, you know, everybody used to give to the Red Cross, and then what I found out about what the Red Cross was doing with money in, like, Haiti and a couple other places, I said, no, thank you, and found better places to give. Another place to give, you know, when things hit like that, when disasters hit, is Doctors Without Borders, because they're really true. That's what they do. So anyways, carrying on, there was a statement released by a couple of Republicans today. Senators McCain and Graham released a statement on the immigration, and it basically says that the government has a responsibility to defend the borders, but doing it to make it safer, uphold all that's decent and exceptional about our nation. And this one little paragraph, well, it really bears listening to. It is clear, and I'm quoting, it is clear from the confusion at our airports across the nation that President Trump's executive order was not properly vetted. We are particularly concerned by reports that this order went into effect with little or no consultation with the State Department of State, Defense, Justice, and Homeland Security. Such a hasty process risks harmful results. And basically, I'll stop there, but they're saying, you know, what the hell are you doing? Is what I get out of it. I mean, Ron, what would you say?
I think you summed it up well there, Gwen. Again, it's just like, I'm making my mandate, my proclamation, and those who are responsible, that actually know the laws and knows the procedures, are looking around saying, what the hell is this about? How did this come down? They're blindsided in each and every move that he does.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, Ron, has there ever been a presidency that has been so inept and so incompetent? I mean, can you think of anything that is equal to this in the last 7 days?
Well, as far as the first 7 or 8 days, he's probably been the most active of any president with his executive orders, but it's totally unplanned, and I think he will stand out as having had the worst, most destructive start of any president ever in the U.S. history. And Richard Nixon has his faults. He also has his virtues, although many people don't realize it. But, I mean, Nixon looks so much better because he at least had competence and background in foreign policy, and he actually promoted some pretty liberal things in domestic policy. I don't see any evidence that Trump's going to do anything that progressives or even moderates is going to like in the next 16 months, which is the most I give him. Again, I don't think he's going to pass Zachary Taylor, as I've said,
in time
in office.
Harding look
Taylor
like
died
like
in office, as I wish to point out.
It's
a disastrous
like a
situation. And I am concerned that there's been some states that have started to pass or trying to pass laws that would outlaw freedom of assembly because it interferes with commerce. And I'm wondering if the president could one day declare martial law and ban all demonstrations and marches. That's terrifying. That would be a real dictatorship if that happens.
In this country, I would guarantee that would assure his assassination. I'm positive of it. If not by the military.
Meanwhile, what would happen? Yeah. I think we would have bloodshed in the streets. God forbid,
sure would.
You know.
Yeah. We sure would.
Civil war, revolution. There are a lot of people with guns.
It would go all the way to the White House.
Five. What's that?
It would go all the way to the White House.
But I think that a lot of people with the guns, the ones who love Trump, would probably go after people who are against Trump. That's what's terrifying.
That'd be a bloodbath. That'd be just terrible,
absolutely,
wouldn't it? It could happen.
You know,
that's scary.
Talking about basically a riot civil war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's something like science fiction movies are made of type of topics.
Gentlemen.
And completely unavoidable. Completely avoidable, I mean. It is completely avoidable.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I have to tell you, I mean, since this guy has gotten into power and what he's done the last 7 days, his approval rating is lower than, I mean, it's at 3%. You ever hear that before?
My God, no.
Well, but he would say that's not true, that the alternative news is correct.
No.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the alternate facts are the ones you should believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, this is the Orwellian speak that's coming out of these assholes.
God, they're all pathological liars.
I do not think that Trump supporters would commit civil war because I think they'd be squashed pretty fast.
Oh yeah, it'd be bloody, but it'd be happen.
Yeah, it would be squashed pretty fast because then the military would enter our streets, and that's another problem. But this
fine thought.
This is too vast a country for martial law.
Well, Gwen, just
I hope you're correct.
You. There was there's a young man, mid-20s, who's now arrested and charged for murder, but he thought he had, from Missouri, his right to carry the gun and the stand your ground law that made him immune. But basically, some kid, and I think he was black, stole his cell phone. So, and as the kid that stole the cell phone was running down the street, the 25-year-old white guy just pulled out his gun and shot him down in the street. Well, now he's like, well, what about standing my ground? He stole my cell phone, right? I had the right to kill him. No, you didn't, Pozo.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that's going to be more breaking out. I use that as an example. That's what's going on here. But you're going to get that same mindset from others that are going to commit these atrocities because they think they have been enabled.
Yes, well, that's exactly what Meryl Streep was saying, wasn't it? She was saying that here you have someone in the most respected seat in the country, let alone in the world, who has given Tacit go ahead to bully everywhere, and it's dangerous and it's heartbreaking, and it's not America.
We're not used to this strongman tactics. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The people who do consider, I mean, my block page now on Facebook has gotten so long, they're going to start charging me rent. I mean that, and I'm going to get put in Facebook jail. I mean, have you seen this stuff? I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm angry. But I'm always. I do not support violence, and I know that the first thing.
Absolutely no violence. That's right.
we should be acting from kindness. And so I keep my page open because, well, frankly, I'm in business, but I also want to hear people's respectful opinions. I don't block everybody, but the idiots seem to find you. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the extremists always do.
Well, I was going to say, it's not
so. Trolls, we call
them. What surprises
me
more is the depth of their ignorance, but their propensity to display that ignorance is what's surprising to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good point.
The conversations are incredible, though. I will say that there are, I'm interacting with easily a few hundred people from all over the place. And I know that there are lots more that are seeing our folks, Ron, get around too. I mean, and it has an effect. It's the pebble in the pond, you know? And it causes conversations amongst people everywhere. And the fact is that twice I heard it, people who have been protesting say that they keep their eye on Facebook and Twitter to see who's, you know, following them and what they're doing in their protests. So it's really important to get out there and say, can you believe these wonderful people who are out there standing
right.
in the streets and supporting them? With positive comments and posts that lets them know that they are doing something that's going further. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, matter of fact, those young people, which I refer to, those in their mid-30s that are now standing up and speaking, you know, I tell them, I said, look, this old war horse is running that race. The change is now. It has to be motivated from your demographics, you know, the 20s to the 40s. You guys have to step up. If you see this is wrong, you've got to be more proactive and more outspoken. This old hippie here is tired.
I got to tell you something, Wayne. I'm watching the live feed of the protests right now on MSNBC next to my panel here.
Uh-huh.
And
I've got it on here too.
I want to tell you how many damn gray-haired people I see there too.
Good for them. So glad.
Grandmas are pissed off. They are really.
Oh, when you piss off the grandma. Oh, it was grandmoms who brought down the Argentine military junta, where they kept marching in the streets in the park saying, "Where's my grandchild? Where's my child?" And they didn't give up.
Yes.
It was the grandmoms who brought down these bastards in Chile.
Well,
good point, Glenn. I'm glad you said that.
What does it tell you about women? What does it tell you about women? I mean,
oh, it's the stronger sex. I'll admit that and give you that. You are the stronger sex.
It's not about it's not about being the stronger sex. It's also if you've got like the park was filled majority wise with women on not this last Saturday, but the Saturday before after the inauguration.
It was a wonderful march, a very successful march. Yeah.
I had a niece, a school teacher that was right in the middle of that in D.C. I told her I was very proud of her.
Right.
Yeah, my oldest son was in the march last Saturday. Very proud of him.
That's right.
Very good.
Ron's son was there. And here's the thing. If they had bombed in there with equine units and started bashing heads and stuff, how do you think that would have gone over? Not just with the country, but with the world. And 60 countries, women got in the streets to protest Trump. In 60.
Yes. It wasn't just in this country. It was a global movement. And that speaks volumes too, doesn't it?
It does.
Absolutely.
And they were women. They were willing to come out and say, enough is enough. Because they understand intrinsically that America provides this beacon. And no matter what you say and how badly it's been messed up by Bush, Cheney, and the wars, people still think of America, have still thought of America as being the land of the free and the home of the brave. And here's the deal, even though we know the difference. And here's the deal. This man has smashed that in less than 8 days.
Yeah,
he has smashed. people don't know what to think. And a lot of people in European countries, and I'm sure Ron has, you know, friends in other places too, who are saying, you know, we're afraid of you. We're afraid of you,
yeah.
Your country.
Oh, I have a musician friend in France, the Normandy area of France. And basically, the voice in France, general consensus is, Americans, how in the hell did you vote this asshole in there? He's stupid. Why have you not seen that? Why did you not see this before he was elected?
May I interject, though, to point out something? Yes, he won the Electoral College, but he only won 46% of the total popular vote, 11 million more, 3 million for Hillary Clinton and 8 million for other independent and third-party candidates voted against him. So he actually lost not by 3 million, but 11 million, and he only had 26% of the country actually voting for him, because a lot of people didn't vote, and his electoral vote 304 was only 46 out of 58 presidential elections. This was not a great victory, and you know, and the point is, no candidate ever becoming president has ever had such a, you know, such a negative vote against him. I mean, comparatively, George W. Bush had 540,000, but here he had 3 million plus 8 million other people in the case of Trump. So, I mean, you know, it's such a difference there. And so it's not a great victory, but officially he did win. It's true, but it's really a flawed system the way it is.
Ron,
well,
I'm going to fence with you on that. I tell you that the only reason that he carried states in the electoral was because of gerrymandering and vote purging and vote suppression.
Exactly, Gwen. I'm with Gwen on that. That is definitely part of it. So
he cheated. Right.
Well, if there had been 80,000 votes switch in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, she still would have won Hillary Clinton. It's that close. But small numbers made the difference in those three states and threw the electoral vote to him.
And I think she carried Florida, and I think Florida purged. And gerrymandering.
Oh, yeah.
And
Michigan purged
that,
to beat Hill. Michigan purged to beat Hill. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, Greg Glass has been publishing on that. And the other thing that we should probably mention in the last few minutes here, and I'd love to know what Ron thinks this is going to play out as, the absolute idiocy of going against the press the way they have. And
oh,
what
God.
Saying, I mean, the Kellyanne Conway, actually, the quote was incredible. She said that what was it she said? She said, why don't
using you, alternate facts.
Why don't you talk less and go listen to America more? She said that the media failed to learn America and complaining that everything is cherry picked. The biased media coverage was easy to detect. Well, it was all for them. And
no, Steve, all out assault on the media is going to gain them very little. It's going to inflame the media against them for the rest of their administration, and it's going to be suicidal. It's a very stupid move. Typically,
yeah, Steve Bannon said the media should just shut up, but the media is what will keep us free. They have to continue to go after everything and expose everything,
yeah,
no matter what.
Very true. One of the few smart things he said.
Well, I was going to say, go ahead, Gwen.
What she said, the Gestapo tactic of what she said finally was, we have all the headlines, we know all the names.
Yeah.
How can you do that?
Kellyanne Conjob, she's a lying bitch.
Kellyanne Conjob, I like that name.
Yeah, that's what I call her now. She's a liar. She's just like him.
Well, and Gwen, too, let me point out, folks, is during the whole campaign, when they were doing fact checks of all the other Republican candidates and Hillary and,
pants on
and
fire.
Bernie Sanders, then they get to fact-checking for Donald Trump, and they said, this isn't even worth it. None of his shit's, is accurate. He's just up there saying crap, and he's just throwing bullshit out. But they didn't put his feet to the fire. And then when he would say something that was a blatant lie, they published and gave it headlines.
They
when Trump's elected,
W
he's going to throw Hillary in jail for her crimes. He's going to make sure she's thrown in jail.
Yeah,
this was the damn headlines for our mainstream media. Where
no
hell
crime.
Where's your critical thinking?
And there were no crimes. It was, you know,
they failed badly.
They
now
they let him get by with murder for a long time.
Yeah, they have to fight back now after making major blunders, the media.
Yep. Yeah, they're going
to they have a lot of to answer to, in my mind, because they dropped the ball. They did not do their job.
You're correct.
That's true.
What you get with infotainment.
Ron.
Yes, and that was a problem. Right, Jack.
Ron, would you please let people know where they can find your wonderful writing, your posts, and where they can find
you? Oh, sure. Okay. I write on historynewsnetwork.org, historynewsnetwork.org. Just published an article just a couple of hours ago about how every president from CR through Trump, you could not have bet a year ahead that they would have won. It was always just fortune and fate that they all won or became president, in the case of the ones who succeeded from the vice presidency because the president left office. I'm also on my theprogressiveprofessor.com, and I'm on various radio shows at times, and I'm always commenting on Facebook. Some people I know say, could you stop for a while? And also
No, Professor,
keep
I'm
on,
in
man.
Your corner. Keep up the good work. And
yes,
that's coming from me.
Absolutely.
And in the midst of all this, I do lectures to adult groups and I still teach. I don't know how I do it when I'm retired, in quotes. But I thought you were retired.
Yeah.
And
well, it's important. It is important.
And the name
thank you.
And the name of your book that's going soft.
Yes, my book, Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama, is coming out at the beginning of March from Roman Littlefield in paperback at $17.95. It's been in hardcover, sold enough that it's now going into paperback at a very reasonable price. So
right.
I hope many people listening will consider, you know, indeed buying it and reading it and gaining a lot of knowledge about presidential assassinations.
Very good.
And
not that there's any subliminal messages here, folks.
Well, the only thing people have said to me, by 2020, I might be able to, I could have an updated edition of threats. But there certainly are threats. I hope there's nothing more.
There are threats against Obama in the last two years,
because my book stops in 2014.
Right.
And whatever threats there might be against Trump, certainly I could probably have an updated edition in 2021. You know, hopefully just about threats, nothing more than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, right, we will make ourselves very clear on that.
Yep.
Yes, oh, absolutely. I don't wish any harm on the president or anybody else. That is not the way to resolve political differences. Absolutely not.
And after a 20-day-plus hiatus due to health issues, I'm back on track with the Saturday Afternoon Post. Please visit there this week. We're going to have a couple
very
good,
good
posts.
Very good, Jack. It's always good
we
reading.
Always try and do. So it'll be worth your while.
You can find the Saturday Afternoon Post posted on the Here Be Monsters radio page over on Facebook. And most of Ron's posts I double on to over there, too.
Awesome.
Guys, thank you so much for being with
me. Thank you, Gwen.
It's been a great discussion, yes. Thank you for inviting me.
Always enjoy having you.
Good
night, all.
You're always welcome, Professor.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
And Ron, I hope you'll come back and see us or be with us again real soon. I mean, things are
absolutely
just
as much as you want me, as long as I'm not tied down a particular Sunday evening. That's the only thing. But I'd be glad to do as much as you wish.
Wonderful.
We will certainly call on you.
Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you. I would also like to remember folks to go on over to the Facebook page of Act Out with Eleanor Goldfield.
Yes, boy, has she been on it lately.
She's doing a hell of a job. So if really want to get around on it, please go over and take a look at her videos. She gives you the week in review and does a damn good job of it and tells you what
very
you're
good, yep. We'll have to have her back sometime, Gwen.
Yeah.
It was great having her the first time.
Yes, she was a great guest.
In the meantime, I'm going to urge everybody to just keep pushing forward. There's no other alternative.
You're right. Absolutely correct.
Yep. Thanks, Professor. Good to hear from you again, and we'll see you all next week, I guess.
Yes, and take care of your health, all of you.
Yep.
You too, Ron. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters Radio. We will be back at 6 p.m. next Sunday. to let you know what else has happened. And hopefully our chat page will be open by then. And we can converse back and forth. Always remember, you can call in. We thank you for listening. And that would be all she wrote for tonight. Good night, Ron. Good night, Jack.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.